minute message on my heart. I'll read two verses to you. Doesn't the love of Christ baffle your mind? I don't understand. Years ago, my girls used to sing a song, "I don't understand why He loves me." I don't know if I can remember it or not. I think the first verse said, "The Savior called me out when I had no hope to claim. My life had no beauty. I was filled with sin and shame. But His mercy shined upon me, boundless grace from above. And though I was nothing," get this, "His heart was filled with love." Only God could love a nothing. You say, how's that possible? Hey, God made an earth out of nothing. And if He can create something out of nothing, He can love something that's nothing. Amen. Where would I be without the love of God? Well, the old songwriters say the love of God's greater far than tongue nor pen could ever tell. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I know the week is ahead of us, and I want us to be prayerful, and that's what I want to challenge your heart about tonight. 1 John chapter number 5. A lot of admonition we get from the writing of John in these three small epistles. But I'm telling you this, in all seriousness, I have wrestled two or three things around in my heart. And really, in all intention, I had come tonight with the intention of preaching on Satan's attack on the mind. But I don't, I'm telling you, just as the service progressed, trying to be sensitive to the Lord, and then I've had two or three other thoughts on my mind. I really thought about, if it'd be the will of the Lord, I thought about preaching on old Jabez. I've preached out of the book of Chronicles on Jabez a couple times, but kind of a new thought that I had been looking at in the life of Jabez. And I thought about preaching on how to get past your past. But I'm telling you, and that'd be good preaching, but I still don't believe that's what the Lord wants or not. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this right here. The only person that can tie you to your past is yourself. Amen. And I'm telling you, I'm glad God, when God saved me, number one, He knew me at my present, but He knew my past as well. And Brother Don and I were talking this afternoon, just in a very jestful way, made that statement about what he used to be and how that God worked and changed that particular part of his life. And I thank God for that. Thank God He does that. Can I say something? That's what He wants to do in your life. It's what He wants to do in my life. And you and I have got to be very cautious and careful that we don't take up residence in our past. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. And I don't say this, there's not a person in here that hasn't got a past. Yes. Amen. Yes. Some folks may be a little more tainted than others, but we've all got a past. There's not a man, woman, boy, or girl breathing air that wouldn't say this, that there's part of my past I wished I could erase. Yes. Amen. But I can't. But you know what I can do? You do realize today, and I haven't got it written in this Bible. I've got it written in another Bible. I was in a meeting over in South Carolina Wednesday, Thursday, and a Friday. And on Saturday, I was just going to actually stay in the same place. And I was headed to preach at another church on Sunday. And actually two churches on Sunday. And anyhow, the church where I was staying, pastor said, "Hey," he said, We got a men's breakfast on Sunday, on Saturday morning. Would you like to come? And I said, you had me at breakfast, amen? I said, sure, I'd love to come. So I got up, and about 8:30 we had a men's breakfast, and then there was a man came and gave a devotion. Preacher wasn't a preacher. He's just a Sunday school teacher in another church, faithful man, loves the Lord, loves missions. He's a missionary, loves missions, a hard-working man. Aside from what his church does, supports missionaries himself and supports local pastors in Haiti and goes and helps them on his own and just loves missions, loves the work of missions. And they had him there. To deliver a devotion. And can I tell you something? I'm telling you, God used that man. But he made this statement and made several statements. And one of them I loved, I really loved, and I wrote it down in my other Bible. He made this statement. He said, it takes more than mouth and muscle to make a man. Amen. I thought, man, that's pretty good right there. Amen. Most men I know, they got mouth and muscle, amen. Amen. Every woman in the house should have said amen right there. Some of them got more mouth than they got muscle, amen. But he made this statement. Let me see if I can get this right. He said this. He said, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery, but today's a gift. Y'all ever heard that before? I'd never heard that before. I'd never heard that. And he said, this is the question. He said, what you going to do with your gift?
Good.
Amen. Good. You do realize that today we're writing our history.
Good.
Amen. And I'm thankful that God's been a very real, real, real help in my life. Amen. All right, let me give you this. Then we're going to go home, we're going to pray, we're going to meditate, and we're going to prepare ourselves for this week. This is what the Bible said in the book of 1 John, chapter number 5, verse number 14, 15. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask, now I didn't write it, it's God's book. Anything. Now, I'm going to make a statement right here, and I want you to keep your Bibles open. I'm going to read through this, and I'll say a few things, and I'll go back and say a few things. Can I say something? There is a movement in the day in which we live. They read this verse this way, that if we ask anything, He heareth us. He heareth us. And then they like to go ahead and tag that next verse in. And if we know He heareth, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. But they leave out about three or four very crucial words. And those words are this: according to His will. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, say those next three words with me, He heareth us. What a consolation. Verse 15, and if we know that He heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions. Notice that word to be in the plural. You say, what's that mean? That means this, that even the Bible and the writing of the Bible under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, God knew and intended that His people would be an asking people.
Amen.
Don't let somebody shame you for going to God all the time.
Amen.
I want to tell you something. Somebody said, I heard this one time. I may have said this here, but it's worth repeating again. Most of y'all slept since then. Don't even remember what I said yesterday. You know? But can I say this? I had a fellow tell me one time, he said, well, them people that's always running to the altar bother me. I told him, I said, let's that crowd don't ever go bothers me.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. And I'm not saying coming to the altar is just a label of spirituality. But I'm saying this, it's them people that don't ever call on God that bother me. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. These two verses kind of stagger me a little bit as I look at the Word of God. In verse number 14, there's four things I want to identify. Number one, look what the Bible said, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. Can I make a statement right here? Are we not living in days where there's not really a whole lot of things to put confidence in?
Right.
Let me make a statement right here. Now, most of y'all know this. I live in eastern Tennessee and up until just recently lived in Sevier County, Sevierville, Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, tourist center capital of the entire state of Tennessee. The Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the number one visited national park in the entire United States of America. And I believe it was in 2019, they guesstimated that there were almost 7 million people came to visit the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. That's a whole lot of people. And living in a tourist area like that and the several years, we lived there almost 14 years, can I tell you something? There's times, there's things that come up that you need, especially if you're like me. I'm not really good at nothing. Amen. I'm not. If you need your car fixed, don't call me. Unless you need a ride to the mechanic. Amen. That's the only reason you need to call me. If you want your house built, don't call me. I'm no good at that. Amen. I can't even drive a nail straight. Amen. You sure don't want me drawing your plans out. I can't draw a line straight either. Amen. Just don't have those. I don't have those talents and those abilities. I come to grips with that years ago, and I'm fine with that. Amen. God didn't give that to me, and I accept that and understand that. But with that being said, Brother Andy, that means I've got to learn how to depend on other people. And can I say this? In living in an area, a very busy area like we live in, anybody can slap a magnetic sign on the side of their vehicle, and boom, boom, all of a sudden they're a plumber. Or they're a builder or whatever, amen? And so that's just the reality. And so when we first got there, we'd have situations and we bought a house that had to have quite a bit of work done on it. And so, some things, I don't have a problem with demolition. Demolition is not my issue, amen? I can tear it apart. My part's just putting it back together right, amen? And so I could handle the demolition, but when we started putting it back together, I had to incite some help. And can I say this? I had to work through some individuals that the reality is this. I had to work through some individuals that even though they had all the credentials, it seemed, they had the vehicle, they had the van, they had a title, they come up with a fancy name for their company, this, that, and the other. But can I say this? Some of them were just crooks. They were just out to get your money and to leave you high and dry, as the old saying is. Can I say it this way? I learned that some of those men and some of those businesses, I had no confidence in. On the way here, I was listening to a preacher friend of mine, Brother Scott Cottle, who's the president of Macedonia World Baptist Missions. He was preaching in one of my supporting churches, and I listened to him as I was finishing getting ready, and then listened to him on the way here. And he was preaching about church members, on the kind of church member that God wants you to be and wants me to be. And can I say this? Can I say the reality of it is this? Just as much as it's a valid thing to want to be able to have confidence in your pastor. Can I say this? Your pastor ought to be able to have confidence in you. And John writing here in this first epistle coming to the end in chapter number 5, he said, this is the confidence that we have in Him. Now what's he talking about? Those of us that are believers, those of us that are followers of Christ, there's a confidence that we have. That word confidence means this. It means an assurance. It means a trust or a reliance or an assurance of mind. It means this. It means a firm belief. Can I say something? I'm glad tonight that I've got confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sister Donna was singing a while ago, and the choir was singing, and every song, man, it just stirred up the reality of my confidence in God. Amen. And I want to make a statement right here. There's a lot of folks get sour on God because somebody fails them. Can I say something? The reality of it is this. We've all been failed by somebody. And can I say this? We have all failed somebody. Amen. And so you don't need to let that cause you to get crossed up with God and to get at odds with God, because this is the reality. And so what happens is our confidence begins to be shaken in individuals. Can I say something? The Lord Jesus Christ has never failed us. Can I say something? He has never let us down. And it's just like Brother Andrew said a while ago, you study the names of Christ, and every attribute that He displays, there will always be a coordinating attribute for every phase of life that we go through. Amen. You're never alone. There's a provider. He's a provider. He's a supplier. He's a sustainer. What did the psalmist say? I preached that here before. Or was it Psalms chapter 40 or 41? And David said, the Lord will strengthen. The Lord will sustain. The Lord will encompass. He said, the Lord will. How could David say all those things that the Lord will? Because the Lord had in his life. I want to say this to you tonight, church. Listen to me. The reality of it is this. God has gone to great lengths and as much awe as it instills and as much amazement as it does, God has gone to great lengths to make the truth of the Word of God very simple that you and I could understand it very easily. And I'm not saying that He dumbed it down for us. But the reality of it is this. There's an element of this Bible and the Christian life that you're going to have to do by faith. Without an explanation. Now, I don't want to mess your theology up or anything like that. We sang the songs. You know, we'll understand it better by and by. Will we? Will it matter? By and by. Let me give you an example of that. I don't know if I've told you this here before, but I'm going to tell you. I was watching an interview, a very famous, well-known Southern gospel music icon by the name of Bill Gaither. And Bill Gaither was in this interview, and they were asking him about things that had impressed him or things that provoked him. And he said, well, probably one thing that provokes me was, I watched an interview. I can't remember if you watched the interview or read the article. Somebody was interviewing a Mother Teresa. Now, y'all know who Mother Teresa is. She was that Catholic nun that was known for her morality and kindness and all that kind of stuff. And so they asked Mother Teresa, they said, because, you know, she had proclaimed the truth and all this kind of stuff all of her life. And she had given her life as a life, never been married, separated, you know, unto the service of the church. And I want to say this, you'll notice something, especially when folks are dealing with Catholics, they'll say the service of the church. Can I say something? I'm not serving an institution. I'm serving Christ. I'm a part of the church. I'm serving Christ. And anyhow, they said this. They said, what's the first thing you're going to do when you get to heaven? I thought they should have asked her if she got to heaven. You say, preacher, hang on now. We believe Bible doctrine, don't we? Okay. Can I say this? The Catholic Church is based on a work salvation. Probably some of the most moral people you'll ever meet. But the Bible says, for by works are you saved. Oh, that's a wrong Bible. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. Why? Why is it not of works, lest any man should boast? Amen. And I know the human nature. And if we done something better than somebody else, we would boast about it. Amen. Amen. And this is what her response to that question was. What's the first thing you're going to do when you get to heaven? She said, the first thing I'm going to do is, she said, I'm going to find Jesus. And she said, I'm going to say, oh boy, you've got some explaining to do. Can I make a statement here tonight? God does not owe us an explanation for anything. I'm just going to kind of be real, real simple right here tonight. Can I say something? I've come to the place in my life where there's some things, Brother Andrew, I've stopped trying to figure it out. Amen. Can I tell you something? These last few years, these last 2 years, and this pandemic that's hit our nation, and can I tell you something? Listen, I've got friends of mine that this thing's took their life. Can I say something? Men of God have died in the last 2 years. Brother Sam, I know for a fact we still needed them. That's my assumption. My opinion. Some friends, the Rileys and the Distels, some friends of ours, the Fitch family, traveled for years and sung. And Brother Don passed away a few years back, but their daughter Melanie just buried her husband Saturday. 47 years old, 2 teenage boys at home. Can I make a statement right here? They were faithful members of their church. She played the piano. He was the adult choir leader. Laborers and workers and those kind of church members that a pastor needs and a church needs for the function of the ministry and the services to transpire. Can I say something? In my mindset, that was the mistake. But God's got a different opinion about things than I do. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying this. That's the reason why you and I, if we're not careful, when things don't pan out the way we think they should pan out, it very easily shakes our confidence in God. I got to meditating on this. I'm going to preach this. I probably shouldn't be saying this to all these preachers in here, because they'll get up and say the Lord gave them something. And y'all, all, if y'all hear this in this pulpit or one of these other preachers, and they say the Lord gave me this, you know it's a lie. Brother Pierce gave it to him. But I got to thinking: have you ever looked in the Book of Hebrews? Isn't those stories amazing? Yeah. Abraham and Sarah and all those identifiable individuals. But you go all the way down to the end of the chapter, and then there's one verse, and it says, "And others." Let me ask you a question: did God not love others as much as He loved those He named? Let me ask you this question. What if they'd have known their name wasn't going to get printed? Brother Irma, what if they'd have just known that this, somebody said, you're just going to be an other in the Bible. They're not going to call you by name, you're just going to be an other. I'm going to preach on this. I'm content to be just another. Because sometimes if we don't think we're going to get named, we lose our confidence. Can I say this? If God don't work it the way we think He ought to, we lose our confidence. If He don't work it in a way that benefits us, we lose our confidence. If He doesn't work it in a way it benefits those who we think deserve it, we lose our confidence. Church, can I say this? And I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, because I got 100 different things swirling in my mind. And that's the reason why, and I'm going to say this, especially these young preachers, that's the reason why y'all do your best to outline your message, because it'll help you stay on track, because I'm running without an outline, and that's scary tonight. Amen? But I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you just a second. Do you believe it's the will of God for all men to be saved? Hello? It's not God's will that any should perish, but that some should come to repentance. All should come to repentance. All should come to repentance. So you know what that tells me? That tells me that it's the will of God for all men to be saved. Now, are all men going to be saved? They're not. Some men are going to do what the Bible says. Is it Proverbs 29, verse number 1? He that being often reproved, hardeth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed. That without remedy. Some men are going to stiffen their necks. There are some that are going to live morally adjacent lives externally, but have a very vile thought pattern internally. It's not the will of God. Can I say this, church? Is it the will of God to send revival to this congregation? So then to say that would be to say this. So then it's the will of God for me to ask for revival.
Yes, sir.
Right. Good. Bible said this, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. Number one, we see the assurance. Number two, look what it says right here. That if we ask anything, that if we ask, that if we ask,
yes,
that if we ask. I'll be honest with you, a while ago, God just really speaking to my heart. I had to get down over there and I had to ask God for some things. You said, Brother Stacy, had you not asked God for them before? I have, multiple times. But I had to do it again. Some of them were for me, some of them were for others. You say, I don't understand that. Well, I asked God once. You know, the Bible talks about much. Is it over in the book of 1 Thessalonians? Is it verse number... chapter number 5, verse number 17. Pray without ceasing. And that doesn't mean that we walk around 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with our eyes closed praying. No, it means that we do not allow prayer to become an absent part of our life. Number one, we see the assurance. But then number two, we see the appeal. I want to ask you a question. In view of this meeting, in view of these days of revival effort, what have you asked God for? What have you asked God for? I've asked God to work. I've asked God to work in my family 9 hours away. Amen. If something doesn't change, the fact of the matter is I'm fixing to leave here and I'm going to go to Missouri, and then from Missouri I'm going to South Carolina. South Carolina, I'm going to drive all the way back to West Tennessee, and I'm not going to see my family until December the 11th. So you know what I need? I need God to be busy. I need God to be busy on 111 Reuben Lane. I need God to be watchful at 111 Reuben Lane. I need God to be provisionary at 111 Reuben Lane. I need God to be an active part of what's going on that little hill right there in Wartburg, Tennessee. You can walk out the front door of our house and we've actually got a view of the entire town. I mean, it's just, and now that the leaves are gone, we can see a whole lot better. But can I tell you something? I want God to be working in our town. But I really want God to be working at 111 Reuben Lane.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
We don't see that. We don't see our assurance, but then we see the appeal that's made. I ask you a question. What are you asking God for? I tell you what, the Holy Ghost dealt with my heart the other day, and I was challenged. I was challenged by somebody else. And is it Wednesday? Wednesday? Is that going to be December the 1st? Is that right? Wednesday's December the 1st? Starting December the 1st, the next 2 days, I'm working on a prayer list. I'm working on a prayer list, and I'm going to put on those things on this prayer list. And for the entire month of December, 31 days, is that right? Is that right? Oh, no, the banker would know. Amen. The banker would know. Numbers, 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 dollars, dollars, dollars. Amen. 31 days. Had a preacher challenge me. He said, start you a prayer list. He said, pray over it for 30 days. He said, 30 days. I'm going to use the whole month, 31 days.
Good.
And he said, at the end of those 30 days, and he said, as God answers those prayers, write the date down, write the time down, write the situation down when He answered those prayers. Then at the end of those 31 days, he said, if that doesn't help your prayer life, he said, I'll apologize. To be able to look back over that list. And hey, there may be some things that as you go through that month, you may add to that list. But every day, make those things a priority to pray over those. Hey, there may be some of those things you take off that list. Because you might find out as you begin to pray over them, Brother Sam, those are your things, not God's things. Those are not according to His will, those are according to your will. Anybody ever prayed anything according to your will? Oh yeah. I still hadn't got it, amen? So we see the assurance of verse number 14. We see the appeal that's made. But then here's what I want to deal with just a minute. In verse number 14c, it says this, according to His will. So you know what that tells me this? Is that tells me this, if I'm going to pray and I'm going to pray and make an appeal, I'm going to have to make an appeal according to His will. So that means this, it means I'm going to have to pray like He would pray. I'm going to have to petition Him and appeal to Him for things like He would want prayed for. The Bible said this, according to His will. Can I say something? When you put this, I know this is probably going to be a poor analogy, but this is the best I can come up with. I found out, y'all know I love to cook, and I love to eat, love to cook. But anyhow, I found out the key to making a cake go from a good cake to a great cake is a little thing called a sifter. Some of these young people don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about one of them old fashioned, them little metal things, got a little handle on them. You scoop down in there and you get that flour. I'll be honest with you, and if you've used one enough, you know this, that they made those years ago and they had the measurements on the inside of the sifter. Now I'm talking about the real old ones had the sifter, the mechanism was in the handle. That's some of the real old ones. But then the next model came along and it had a little crank on the side. And what you do is you take that flour and you take all your dry ingredients and you put them in there and you sift. You run that little sifter around and around and around, and all that flour sifts through there, and it lightens that flour up. But then you'll look down at the bottom of that sifter, and you know what there'll be? There'll be some grainy things down in the bottom. Now, you don't put them in the cake. You take them out. Because that's going to keep that cake from being the consistency that you want it to be. Can I say something? When we take our prayers and we sift them through the will of God, there's some things that have to come out. The Bible said this, is it the book of Philippians? Brother Andy, is it the book of Philippians? And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Condescended. Made himself of no reputation. Took on himself the form of a servant. Was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And became obedient unto death, even the death of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. What is the mind? What is the mind of Christ? I'm going to tell you what the mind of Christ is. It's obedience to the Father. This is what he said. According to his will. According to his will. Are the appeals that we're making to Him because of this confidence, because of this assurance, are they according to the will of God? Guys, let me ask you a question. Is it God's will to send revival to His people?
Amen.
Y'all believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
Sure it is. But can I ask you one question? Why are we not seeing revival? Can I say this? If we're asking for revival and we're not seeing revival, then there can only be one conclusion to come to. We're not doing it according to His will. See, the fact of the matter is this. Revival begins its work in me first. My kids used to sing it when they were little. When they were very, very little, my kids used to sing, not my mother, not my father, but it's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. Not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. Can I say this? It is easy, and I'm going to use Brother Wendell because I know he won't get his feelings hurt. It's easy for me to look at Brother Distel and say, I'm telling you what, man, if he'd do this right here better, I mean, I'm telling you what, things would really be better. He needs to work on this. Amen. He needs to fix this. He needs to fix that. I mean, he needs to get rid of that Dodge. That Ram. He needs to get rid of that Ram. That's a confused vehicle out there anyhow. I don't know whether the Dodge or the Ram. Amen. And then Brother Don had to criticize my vehicle I'm riding in. Yeah. And I had to apply that verse I preached on this morning. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to... Anyhow. But it's easy to look at everybody else, what they need to fix. And I know Brother Don, he was just picking carrot on me. Listen, I'll be honest with you. My wife, that's her vehicle. I'm driving her vehicle. And so we bought her a little inexpensive vehicle to scat about at home, and it's a Volkswagen. No. God forbid is what you should have said. Can I tell you something? That thing has been a pain. Amen. And I mean, the other day I told her, I said, I'll tell you what the best thing to do with this thing right here, let's call the insurance company instead of just liability, let's put full coverage on it and run it off one of these hills up here somewhere. Do we not have that ability to assess everybody else, but we can't assess ourselves as clearly as we assess everybody else? Y'all have heard me say this. The people that you earnestly pray for, you won't critically attack or harmfully criticize. Amen. Y'all have heard me say that 1,000 times. But why is it that it's so easy to see everybody else's failure and not be able to evaluate our own? Can I say this? The fact of the matter is this. The only thing that will stop God from answering our prayers according to His will. According to His will. And a lot of times we want God to answer this, we want God to do this, but we want Him to do it in a way that it benefits us the best. I want God to bring my wayward child home. Why? Because that way I'm not worried every night. And that way I'm not frustrated and I'm not aggravated. That way I'm not embarrassed that people know how they're living and what they're doing. No, we're praying for us. I want God to make my husband a better husband. Why? So He'll treat me better. So He'll do more for me. I want my wife to be a better wife. Why? So she'll treat me better and do more things for me. Our home will be better. This will be better. No, that's the wrong way to pray. That's not according to the will of God. It's according to the will of us. Amen. So we see this. We see the assurance. We see the appeal. We see it's according to His will. And not until then do we find the acceptance that takes place. He heareth us. The Bible said this, verse number 15, and if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. And I could take a whole another 30 minutes and deal with verse 15, but I'm not. But I want to show you two things in verse number 15. I call it the twins. What are the twins in verse 15? We know. And if we know, what do we know? He hear us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. We know that if we've asked right, then we know that He gives right. Can I make this statement right here? And I'm fixing to move on. Can I tell you something? I have found that when I pray the earnest, most earnest for an individual in a situation that I fit, that I act like, that I feel like that I'm praying for their betterment. Can I say this? Most of the time when I pray real earnest about that, God ends up changing me more than I see Him change them. Amen. You say, what are you saying, preachers? I'm saying this. It's real easy to pray according to us instead of according to Him. I'm finished. I'm going to ask you a question, church. What are you going to ask God for? I want to challenge you tonight. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to pray every day for this meeting. Your pastor has sent me a list of church family names. I'm going to pray over them every day. And December the 1st, I'm going to do my 30-day challenge. But what about us starting a prayer list for these days together? We've got 5 more days together. You say, oh, Brother Stacy, that's a short time. That's a short time. I don't know if we'll see any of them prayers answered by Friday. Well, I'm going to say this. I know one thing for sure. If you don't ask, you sure won't see them answered. And I want to say this. What are you going to do at the end of them 31 days if all of them prayers ain't answered? I'm hoping that it puts me in a mind frame and a mindset just to keep on praying. Precious lady, I love her to death. Her and her family have been friends of mine for years. Her name's Faith York. Miss Faith and I just finished a little while back. We wrote a song together. And it talks. The gist of the song is this: until the answer comes, I'm just going to keep on praying. The chorus says, until the answer comes, I'll keep on praying. Until the answer comes, I will believe. He's promised in His Word, His ears are open. And a prayer of faith is all I'll ever need. So until the answer comes, here it is. I'll trust when I can't see. Amen. You say, what are you saying? I say, I'm saying this at the end of those 30 days. I hope I just don't throw that prayer list aside and say, well, God didn't answer those. But I hope it sets in me a mindset to be consistent and continual. Amen. And to be consecrated in my prayer. Can I say something? It does me good. And I want to say something. That's the reason why this. And church, I'm going to say this. I'm not talking about somebody just getting up and flapping their lips to say something. But listen, God don't get no glory out of testimonies like that. I'm talking about this. When God answers prayer, and you may not be able to go into deep detail and stuff like that, and I understand, but when God answers prayer, you ought to testify to the goodness of God. You ought to testify to God answering prayer. You say, why? Because what that does is that provokes the faith of other people. Amen. And maybe tonight when we get home, we'll start us a prayer list for this week. It will start us. And I want to say this, in all seriousness, I mean, I've got names to pray over, but you all go to church with each other. You're going to know how to pray for this congregation better than I would ever think about being able to. You're going to know how to pray for your pastor and your pastor's wife and his family better than I will. Now listen, they're close and very dear friends. Brother Sam and his family, I love them and I know them greatly. But I'm going to say this, you're going to know them better than I will. Men, ain't nobody knows your wife any better than you do. Ladies, nobody knows your husband better than you do. Parents, nobody knows your children better than you do. You young people, nobody knows your parents better than you do. Amen. And maybe it would be at the end of this week that somebody will be able to stand up, or maybe with a tear-stained piece of paper in their hand, say, I just want to thank God for 3 answered prayers this week. Or you may have to stand up. You may have to stand up and say, I just want to thank God for teaching me how to pray. He's not answered anything yet, but I'm still believing Him to. Amen. Why, preacher? Why? This is the confidence
yes.
that we have in Him.
Yes.
I want to ask you a question. And I guess, if I was going to title this something, I'd probably have to title it this. The Crisis of a Lack of Confidence. The crisis of a lack of confidence. Heads are bowed. I'm going to do this. I normally don't do this. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Now the pastor's got his liberties to look because he's the man of God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to pray, but I want to ask you a question. You say, preacher, I really need God to do something in my life. Nobody knows where I'm at. Nobody knows what I'm doing. Preacher, would you please pray for me? Just slip your hand up, pull it right back down. Bless your hearts. Hands all over this room. Thank you. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray over every hand. But can I say this? Just as you have those pressing needs in your life, other people have pressing needs in their life. I wonder if God might touch somebody's heart that you devote yourself because of your confidence in God, that you'd be willing to devote yourself to be a man or a woman, to be a young man or a young lady of prayer. Can I tell you something? It's hard to fathom what God might do through the prayers of His people this week. Father, I love You tonight. God, I preach my heart. I preach Your will. God, I know there's people under the sound of my voice that are bearing burdens that need Your intervention and they need Your help. So God, I ask You right now in Jesus' name that You'd work in this place, work in lives for the honor and the glory of God. I ask it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, folks are done in there.